So this week we're going to be doing something a little special, a little bit new. Given the theme of heaven and given its connotations with self-help books and self-help purveyors and born-agains and vicars and nuns and speeches and beautifying and beatifying and generally making yourself better, we've requested a few letters from you, the listener, and you've been very forthcoming. So I've got in the studio with me now Malcolm. Malcolm, you'll recognise from the Theatre Riots special. He did a wonderful job on that for us. He's a renowned historian. And Mr. Gladwell, would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Thank you, Malcolm. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with the first letter.
Hey! Fiddle, fiddle! Get down to the grind. Flip my fiddle. Play with my mind. Hey!
Fiddle, fiddle!
Get down to the grind. Flip my fiddle and play my mind.
Okay, so here's the first letter. This is from Paul and Julie Wedgcombe. Dear Ben's Podjohn. It's very formal, I like that. My husband and I have lived for many years now in a small cottage just north of the M9. I think you'll know the M9. It's the it links the Edinburgh to Dunblane via Stirling and Falkirk. It's a good road.
No, I don't know that one.
But you're never mind. We have three children, two boys and a girl, which is how it should be. For 25 years they were my life, but now the last has left and gone to study dead languages at Leeds. Since then life has lost its shine. The days seem long and the nights seem longer, which they are up here. Terry is off air till Saturday, pubs are too loud and Strictly won't come back for months. They sold our WI building to developers last week and knocked it out today. I'm told they plan to build a gentleman's club called Thrust. Throughout this dark time, the Podjohn has been my only source of joy, and I thank you for it. But with only four episodes available, actually there's five, but I suppose she wrote this before that, there is a limit to how much time they can absorb. It's a bit sarky. Paul suggests we get out there and meet new people, perhaps try one of those package trips on a coach to Morecambe, but I don't feel old enough for that yet. Does life really stop here? Is the adventure over? Do you have any advice for a 39-year-old woman who still has some spring in her heels, but no place to spring? So what do you got to say to that, Malcolm?
Gill scrambling? That's quite...
What does that entail, exactly?
Climbing up a river against the water.
A deep river, or...?
It can be quite deep.
Sounds a little bit, bit dangerous.
I can only suggest that she wears water wings.
God, the bloody time machine worked. I think we've been transported back to ancient times. Who are these guys?
Okay, well, we've got another one here, actually. This is from a guy just called Womple. That's all he's put.
Is that a spelling mistake there? Because the S is quite close to the W, so it might be sample.
No, just Womple with a W. W-A-M-P-L-E.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so Womple writes... Hello. I have seven gerbils. Can I keep them? Love, Womple. That's all that Womple has to say.
Is it, I need more information to this, really, because I don't know whether it's a litter from a previously owned gerbil or whether you've just gone out and bought several gerbils. I suppose you can keep them if you've got sheltered accommodation, I suppose, or, keepsake. Keep them for Christ's sake.
Terrific. I think it's time for the first part of Play of the Week.
Play of the Week!
Order! Order now! Now! Quiet, the lot of you. This is a roast egregious day in my long and terrifying career as judge. The defendant, the creator of this terrible shambles of a court, sits in the dock before me, accused of megalomania. A disgusting and often theoretical crime. Let it be known that any person, be they high or low born, tall or short, fat or thin, may feel the justice of this court in the same manner that it will be meted out today. Let Barney be taken from this court and imprisoned for no less and no more than 7 hours. From that point he will be taken to the top of the highest hill and there have his hands and feet nailed to branches on a tree until such point that he is interminably and eternally inconvenienced. This is the judgment of the court. I bid you good day.
Well, that was trying.
That was a very trying trial.
I must say, I found that quite difficult to endure, actually. After everything my father's done, I know he's going to be full of himself and everything. But he's all right guy, isn't he? I mean, there's no chance for redemption.
I found it most peculiar in the courtroom that your father was defended by a peg.
It didn't do anything.
But the pig was his only friend in the end. I would have been his friend, need he ask me. But he didn't ask me, because I believe he hates me.
The pig was crying. Real tears.
Pig tears?
Pig tears. Insulting itself.
Why was he insulting himself with his tears?
A pig can't defend a man. Unless you throw it at the enemy.
It is right that a pig probably could not defend a man in a makeshift courtroom.
Not in a war of words.
A war of words. A war world. Word world of war.
Is this a war world?
I found it most peculiar that those actors managed to get as involved as they did. Did you have anything to do with that, Barney Bourne, my son?
I didn't make them come in and stand there and say those things about my father, if that's what you mean.
Well, we did do the hat thing.
I was pressurised.
But we put all our names in a hat. I took my hat out because I had emphysema. You took your hat out because you were a dumbwit.
My mum sewed my name in that hat.
Your name stitched in that hat. From where you were Bernie Boy Darnie Jr. Back in the day.
Bee. And those bloody actors. I don't think they like my father. I think there's something fishy about them. Really bloody fishy and kind of underhand as well.
They were in the water for a very long time.
The actors. I don't trust them, Tom. It's underhand. And it's wrong.
It's quite unnatural, I must say, that they were the prosecution. The foreman and another sneaky bugger was in the jury there.
And one of them did the drawings.
One of them did the artistic drawings, which did not paint a very nice likeness of your father, I must say.
He was orange.
He was orange to the touch.
And he's not orange.
He was not made of orange peels at that time.
Not though. Anymore, anyway. Not since he left that club.
Let's not talk about that club anymore, boy.
It's not Terry's. It's mine. Tom, do prayers work?
Prayers only work if you believe in them, Barney boy.
Well, I don't know if I believe in them. Because when I was a little boy, I said this prayer once. I did this really big prayer, a really big hard prayer. I got right on my knees and everything. And, I didn't get any presents.
When I said a prayer...
I said, Dear Santa, please! And he didn't answer me.
When the farm was what it was back in the day, I said a prayer once, got down on my knees in front of my favourite pig.
Both knees.
One knee at first, and then when I saw it wasn't working as good as it should have done, I put the other knee firmly into the ground.
More powerful that way, is it?
And God released his energy upon me.
Up from the ground or down from above?
Down from above, and through the earth spurted a happy meal.
Was there a toy in it?
No toy, but super sized fries.
Super sized fries? But lots of salt in them and bad blood pressure.
Blood pressure is no concern of mine when a prayer is divine.
I guess this is about a whole different sort of pressure. Pressure they're putting on my father.
The oppression they're putting on your father was quite harsh in the courtroom, I must say so.
Weighs heavy on his shoulders. I can see them drooping.
They did apply the Ironside method, where they put a lot of weight on his soldiers, so he did droop quite severely because of the weight.
But do you think it was a bit... Do you think it was a bit much? I mean, I like trees. I don't mind birds on trees. I don't mind people firing arrows at trees. I don't mind people taking photographs of trees.
But you don't want to see your father on a tree.
I don't want to see my father on a tree.
I can understand that.
Although I once saw my father's face in a tree. He's given up, hasn't he?
I don't know whether he's given up, but I think he's at peace now with himself inside.
There's so much I never said to him.
Well,
I never told him about how much I loved his dinners.
My God, his dinners were good.
They were so nice.
What did he do to those sprouts?
He buttered them.
Oh my God.
Twice.
Double butter.
Double butter.
Double butter crisscross king. That's what they used to call him down the pool hall.
My goodness, mother could never do sprouts like
Don't
that.
You mention your mother and me about that no more. I've had enough of your mother from your father's ears.
Those two tattoos he's got. Mother and my wife. Cross sides. Lobe to lobe.
Tom, I feel like I owe him something. I feel like I've just stood by like a Bambi in the wind while all this fire and thunderstorms have been raining down on my head like popcorn at the end of a bad movie.
The best place we can go right now is probably go down those cell blocks. Cell block H.
H for hero.
I'll explain my feelings leading up to his conviction, if you will, and then you can tell him how much you, the L word there that you said back there.
Oh, I probably should.
You probably should, boy, because they're going to strap him up to that tree and they're going to shove apples in him until you don't know what.
Oh, Tom!
Sterling stuff. So Malcolm's still in the studio with me. We've got another letter. He's got a letter for me to answer this time. We're going to switch it around. So Malcolm, hit me up with that letter there.
Dear Ben Mueller, I listen to your show every week and love your picture thumbnail on social media sites. I hope that the picture of you is you, and if it is not, why? That's from Tim Prairie from Kent. Sorry.
So Tim, that was?
Yes, Tim.
Okay, well, I'm not sure he's entirely understood the concept of this part of the show, but, you know, any questions? Any questions taken? Any questions answered? So, Tim, let me speak directly to you and say yes. Yes, that's me. That's me in that little square. I barely fit into it, but it's me.
By no means are you a large man. It's just, it's quite a small thumbnail for quite a detailed picture.
I'm a big personality, Tim. But if you want to get in contact, then I can provide you with other images, larger ones. Nothing, obviously nothing. Not like that, Malcolm, no. Just friendly photos, you know, just like press stuff. I can send you my press pack. Contact my agent. It's all, you know, if there's any work in it.
I'm sure Tim Prairie would love that. I'll see if our producers can possibly get in touch with him. And
we'll make it happen, Tim. We'll make it happen.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Mueller, big fan, big lady, help. Sandra from Dunmacombe.
Sandra. See, we had quite a few letters like this. This is not really the first of the type. It's just, it seemed like the simplest, so we took that one. Sandra, yeah. Personally, as much as I'd like to help you, my own terms, I'm not, as I've said before, I'm not a big man, so I can't in any clear sense. I mean, is the help you want physical? Is it emotional?
Well, in the
romantic?
In the brief letter she sent in, she doesn't actually specify whether she needs help with being a big fan or being a big lady.
See, it's unspecific. And that was really the problem we had with most of the letters. We had to reject quite a majority of the letters sent in for a lack of specificity.
Just reflecting on where you're from Dunmacombe, a lot of the letters relative to obesity are from Dunmacombe.
I see, you might have tapped onto a little problem there, actually. So, in that case, let's address this to all the people of, where was it?
Dunmacombe.
Of Dunmacombe. Let's address this to the whole population, and let's just say, guys, it's gotta stop. It's gotta stop, man. Girl, boy, child, everything. It's just gotta stop. I hope that was helpful.
I'm sure it wasn't.
Let's take a break.
Sex fever in heaven happens all the time. Sex fever in heaven, your name is mine. Sex fever in heaven, pleasant and is good. Sex fever in heaven, angels and some food.
We've heard a lot of stories today already, but there's a certain set of stories we haven't heard yet, so we're going to move on down to the garden. Not just any garden, though, of course. Rob's Story Garden.
Let me go. I died once, but it didn't take. Like a rental car for the first 2 days, like a newfound ring, the shoe never quite fit. In the first 24, at a bit of a loss, I went to the wreck down the road, expecting to find other lost souls floating amongst the pedalos and jumper goals, and with minimal searching, I did. But they, all pros of the game, had done with jabber, having long since said everything they could say. I managed an hour or two, walking grey and mute, and went home to sleep by myself. For a change on the second, I went to the church on the hill in the village I grew up in. Irreligious by nature, but now facing certain facts, it seemed foolish to leave that stone unturned. But the old stone church and its worn stone graves were just as I had left them, pleasant but irrevelatory. As the sun went down and I thought I grew cold, I went down to visit old friends. They couldn't be coaxed into talking, and weren't much to watch, so I left them to their lively business. Approaching distraught, I went to my mother to seek consolation, but in the end, that only made things worse. On the third dead day, which was to be my last, I sat and did nothing till noon. The doormat was full with unwelcome prompts to live afterlife to the full. I'd thumbed through one, titled Posthumous Prospects, which detailed careers for the done. In a bid for proactive, I made a few phone calls for a position in haunting, brackets, hotels and hostels, and another in seance-centered summoning, but in each case I was turned away on account of my lack of experience. In the end, my death ended without ceremony when the people in charge called from the bureau and said quite politely that after much consideration, they'd decided to let me go. The Monkey and the Bird. I was in Nigeria, and I'd gone for a walk. I was feeling a little off, and I saw this monkey. I don't know what sort of monkey it was, but it was a monkey. It was in a tree, and the monkey started coming down from the tree, started coming towards me, and it stopped. And I thought, And there was a tiny bird on the ground in front of the monkey. And I thought, I know what's going to happen here. The monkey's going to eat the bird. But what actually happened was kind of very different. The monkey went towards the bird as if it was going to eat it. But it didn't. It picked up the bird. And it held it in its hands, and cradled it, and looked at the bird, and it held it very close to its mouth. And I thought, I know what's going to happen here, but it didn't eat it. It just looked at it, and then very gently, it opened its hands, and the bird flew away, and the monkey turned around and climbed back up into the tree again. And I thought, wow. And then I went back to my hotel.
God indeed. Now, if you've been listening, you'll know that we've got Malcolm in the studio here helping us out with a few letters. He's got another one lined up, and I'm going to answer this for him. So, Malcolm.
Dear Ben Mueller, first time everything. When I listen to the ocean, I try to imagine that I'm a blue whale, unbeached, semi-surfaced and gently pushing hundreds of tons of water with the greatest of ease. Massive and calm, filtering problems with my mouth, exhaling my troubles through the hole in my back. I think this is good. Do you? That's from Anonymous, but he's 31 and a half.
I don't mean to cast aspersions here live on the pod, John, but was that from you, Malcolm? You don't have to answer now, it's fine, we'll talk about it later. But assuming it was from somebody, maybe somebody called Malcolm, we'll just assume it was from somebody. Assuming it was from somebody, yeah, I mean, go for it, really. Whatever gets you through the hypothetical water. Anything, really. I mean, I like to go out sometimes and just smile at ugly people, just to make a little bit of difference. I don't know whether it does, but I like to think that it's me doing my little bit. If your little bit is mouth filtration of trouble and problems and strife, it's as good as anything. You just got to do your bit, haven't you, really?
How many ugly people have you smiled at?
Today or in the last week?
Let's say the last 3 days.
Well, the last 3 days, that would require, I usually keep it on a weekly basis, so...
So not to make it easier for you, then, a weekly basis.
A weekly, okay, so it's about... I try to average about three a day. I mean, some days I don't really get anybody because everyone's so attractive here in Brighton.
This is no need for niceties here, Ben.
I mean, overall about 21 a week. It's, like I say, about three a day, 7 days in a week, about that. I mean, some, like Saturdays, easier, more people are out. Sundays, everyone's a bit tired, so that definitely makes people uglier.
People are tired on Sundays.
So I usually get in about 10 of those during the weekend, but Tuesdays no one really goes out, particularly not the ugly, because it's quite a depressing day. But I hope that's helpful, Anonymous. Thank you for writing in.
Why did you look at me like that then?
I wouldn't.
He'll take it on board.
Play of the week.
Play of the week.
Oh. So this is where it ends up. Me in a cell. On me own. Outcast. Unloved. Refuted. Refused. Denied. This is where it ends up. Oh, but what's that? Is that coming towards me? Is that my good friend Tom? Always come to see me. That's not so bad then. I understand a little bit of that. That's admittedly he had betrayed me already, but it's good to see him nonetheless.
I'm afraid I can't look at you in the eyes there, Barney, my mate.
It's quite understandable that you'd feel such a way. And as much as I love you, and as much as I've said it before, I do love you, Tom. As much as I love you, it's still painful to know that you betrayed me.
Don't say that, Barney, my mate. Don't say that you love me. It only burns inside, deep inside my chest. I can feel a little flicker of hope shining inside my life.
Is that my... Do I hear a voice there, Tom?
There's no one behind me, unless he wants to make himself known.
I feel there might be something behind you, Tom. Someone's got a certain thing to say to me.
Oh, Father. Father, I'm here. I'm here. Look. Here I am.
Oh, son.
And I was hiding. But
son, I want you to know, son, that the simple matter of the fact is that I've come to terms with the fact that you betrayed me. I know you didn't betray me directly. I know Tom was responsible for that. But I understand that along the line, somewhere in the process, there was a betrayal on your part.
Father, you pushed us down like ants in the dirt. And you ate all the delicious food and you didn't share it. Me and Tom, we ate daisies.
Daisies, son, they was what I was intended for you. I thought we had a daisy farm.
They were horrible.
Son,
I must confess that those daisies were pretty horrible there, Barry boy.
Don't you understand, son, that the basic principle behind daisy eating is that it gives you a fairly strong high, being an opiate family. I was trying to give you an easier ride, son.
We tried candying them. We tried currying them. We even tried making tea.
I made a nice daisy chain.
If this town was a cake, Father, you took a really big piece and you didn't leave enough. You didn't leave any pieces.
I got quite a bit of piece of that cake.
Son, I'm not really sure your analogy plays straight when...
You had the icing and the filling.
As much as a town is undeniably dividable...
I like the marzipan.
It's not dividable in the sense of a cake.
I would have liked a few sprinkles.
Someone has to be leader, son, and I was trying to adapt to myself to that role. It's not a role I take kindly, son. I'm a naturally...
arsehole.
Oh, Tom.
Sorry, there was a jail guard there who told me I lost 2 cents in a bet. I didn't lose nothing to him.
Well, I'm glad you've come, son, because it's important to me that you know. It's important to me that you know how I feel. And while you might have sentenced me to death, and while it may be Christmas... I want you to know I'm at peace, son.
It's September 1st.
Don't try and intrude upon this, Tom. It's rather a family matter.
What, you pray to Santa as well, do you?
Christmas is a state of mind.
The only state of mind I can see is that your father's in that jail, and it's our bloody fault that your father's in bloody jail, that's right? Don't cry, Barneyson, Barney boy, my boy. Your father wouldn't want to see you cry like that. Don't worry, no, Barney, your
father. Father,
where's that bloody pig?
Father, I wanted to say something to you that I never said, but back when everything was not normal. What I want to say is that on Tuesday nights after swimming, when we come home, you used to make those butter sprouts.
Double butter.
I really like them. I like the colour you painted my room as well. I love you, Dad.
Love you too, son. Just remember me, son, in the better moments, in the times where I was a good father.
At that time you won Jenga.
It was my best time, son.
I remember when we made makeshift kaplunk in the garden with those tractors.
There was that time, son, where your mother came home and I was...
Don't mention your playing mother!
I was dressed in regalia of a sort of festive sort, as you might remember, son. Multiple colours, and I was parading around a fireplace in a sort of jangly kind of way. And you remember that, son? Well, it was a beautiful time, and your mother was so touched, as she would be, given her heritage.
The time we played Buckaroo with a Christmas chicken.
All those times, son. It was beautiful times, son. I just want to remember me like that, son. Not remember me bound and nailed to a tree in a spread eagle position, because it's not my best moment, son.
Or being a dick. Dick.
Let's not talk about that now,
dick,
son.
Dick.
No.
Dictator.
No, son. I don't much appreciate that, son. I think
but,
I was a
but
kind...
But you were a right dick.
I was a kind and considerate
dictator.
Ruler.
I've never heard of the robot spray eagle.
Just leave me, son.
With enough oil, it's possible.
Leave me, son. There's no more you can do. No more.
Father, I don't want to leave you.
It's best you leave now, son.
But it'll just be me and Tom, and sometimes he does that thing with his hand on my back while I'm asleep.
I can't do nothing about that now, son.
That thing on your back, that's medicinal purchase from my emphysema.
It can't be anything done about that now, son.
What about when he sucks my toes?
I suck your toes for your own bloody good.
It's all for your own good, son.
Clips my bridges.
I don't clift your own bridges, I clift the
it's
bridges.
All part of, it's all part of life, son.
Calls me Bernadette.
Just accept it, son, and move on. Move on without me, son.
Bernadette is your mother's name.
All I ask you, take my name and use it well. Take the name of Barney and take it on to new heights.
I love you too, Barney.
I know, son. Goodbye.
Bye then.
Goodbye.
I know that the last time I gave you a kiss was a kiss within malice and undertoning self-defense, knowing that my life may be in jeopardy, but the kiss that I give you now would be through these bars of self-torment and tormenting myself and my own. The kiss I give you now is, well, it's just a bloody kiss.
We've all gathered here on this beautiful day.
The sun is shining.
We're here today.
We're here.
And here we are. For a certain important moment.
Important!
He's going to... Moment. It's time for the final ending of our great leader.
The rock around clock. The time has come. The Icarus.
He must suffer.
Harry,
the time is now. The time is now for the moment.
The time.
The man.
The father, the son, and the holy host.
Together now. Harmony. Lift him up, brother. Lift him up. Lift him up. Get him through the stream.
want you all to know that in spite of this brutal and uncalled for measure, I love you all and I forgive you. In my heart of hearts, I forgive you. And from this point on, all I wish for you is the very best as I go into the afterlife.
I don't know what to say about that, pretty boy. Your father's no longer with us anymore. Very limp and twisted. I
don't. He's gone. Kiss his foot still moving.
The shine has gone out of his arms, Barney boy.
But look at his foot though. It's still his big toes doing dance thing. He's tensing! He's alive!
He's not tensing, boy, anymore, boy. That's just his movements back in the day.
He's looking at me.
He's dead, my boy. Definitely dead, boy.
Definitely dead.
So dead. Dead. Deader than dead.
Deader than dead.
So very dead. Terminated. Absolutely.
Terminated.
I moved like that once, Punch, but I had two parts per Cody on my Barney.
I did once, but I was in a plane.
My God, Barney, we're going to run.
Jump.
Just run as fast as your time legend.
Run.
Hell's bells, that's exciting. We'll have to find out what's going to happen next week in the concluding part of the six-episode series of Barney, Barney, Barney and his son Barney. I'll have to see what happens now. Now Father Barney's dead, now the robots have taken over. We'll just have to find out. But for the time being, we're going to finish up these letters here. We've got a pile to get through. We're going to get through them. So, anytime you're ready there. Malcolm?
Dear Benny M, in the events leading up to 9/11, 2 weeks predating the towers coming down, I had a bad feeling. In the time of the fortnight, I contemplated going to tell someone about it, but felt no one would listen if I told them. I still feel guilty. How can I not? Todd Carty, 51.
51, blimey, he doesn't look it, does he, actually? That's pretty good. I'm impressed by Todd.
We don't know whether it's the Todd Carty.
Oh, that's a very good point, actually. We should make that clear. This could be any Todd Carty, of course. We don't necessarily know which Todd Carty. There's at least three or four that I know, so...
How many have you met on your travels smiling at all ugly people?
You'd be surprised by the amount of ugly people who are called Todd. If anything, it's the majority. I've met a couple of sexy Todds, but they were girls. Mm. It was more like a cheeky nickname. They were called, like... Toddlethia and stuff, so you know. Todd, I guess what we're saying here now is that Todd Carty actually has premonitions of disaster.
He still feels guilty about not telling, I believe.
Well, this is incredible. If we're revealing on the show that Todd Carty actually has some kind of future sight, then I feel like this is probably bigger than we're able to handle on just a small kind of... I mean, it's our flagship product, but it's... I don't know if it's capable of... I mean, Jesus, I mean... So I guess he always knew what was going to happen to him on the show. He got scripts and he was like, yeah, I know.
He would have had a very weird expression on his face. So we could probably dig those up from the BBC archive.
What seems unlikely to me, though, is surely that if you were Todd Carty and you had foresight, you would have done... something different at some point. You would have gone 5 years from now, panto, and you'd be like, no, Todd Carty, no panto. But to answer your question, Todd, yeah, feel bad. I mean, Jesus, man, a lot of people lost their lives that day. I mean, if anything, the subsequent damage has been more. There's been thousands dead now in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're all somehow drawn back to you. The human rights violations alone. Christ, if we could have prevented 9/11, things would be very different.
I hate you, Todd Carty.
Fucking hell, Todd Carty. Jesus Christ. Right, here's the last one. Here's the last one. Now, we've got a letter here from a guy called Jezza and his mate Bibsy. I don't know if that means he wears a bib. I guess his name maybe was Bob, but he might have a speech impediment. It's hard to say.
Might like the Bible.
Ah, yes, a Bible reader. Probably a Bible
Jesus
reader.
Jesus and the Bible.
Jesus and the Bible. This is an incredible letter to receive. Well, let's work with that then. Okay, so this is Jesus in the Bible, now commonly known as. I mean, he would do if he was around today, of course. Jezza would call himself that because he would have liked to, you know, he would like to relate to the children. He'd like them to respect him on the same level. So,
what kind of sunglasses would Jezza wear?
Not Ray-Bans. They're a bit exclusive. I think he'd be probably more. He'd probably just get some freebies, like from McDonald's or something, like something really egalitarian and of the people.
When he was delivering his sermons, would he, what kind of hand gesture would he give to the audience?
I think he'd limit his hand gestures, like really minimal, because I think almost any hand gesture is offensive to somebody, and Jesus wouldn't want that. Or Jezza, sorry.
What about the Fonzie?
Jesus, as much as he's definitely a religious leader first and foremost, he's also quite aware of copyright infringement, and he wouldn't want the Happy Days crew on him, so I think he'd steer clear of any kind of commercially recognised hand gesture.
Oh, I did forget that Ron Howard is quite a...
suey.
Quite a suey.
Quite suey. So, Jezza and Bibsy say this. Me and my mate Bibsy really like your podcast and listen to it whenever we're getting ready for a big one on a Friday or Saturday night. We really liked that girl who was on it once. Bibsy says she'd get it and she would have already have got it if she wasn't just a voice. We was wondering what you do to get the birds, because me and Bibsy are tired of meaningless one-night stands and field sex. Anyway, much love, and keep up the top product, mate. Come up to Cheadle sometime. We'll get cunted. Love, Jezza and Bibsy.
Now, if we're continuing our acknowledgement that Jezza is Jesus and Bibsy is the Bible, then this man is talking to a book, and
the book is in their defence talking back. Do you never watch Ubos?
No.
It wasn't very good.
Field sex.
Sex in a field, I assume.
Hmm.
Or with a field.
That sounds very interesting. I might have to try that. It
is technically illegal, so we shouldn't be encouraging field sex.
Sorry, don't do it to everybody.
It is private land, so it's not really acceptable.
And that terrible use of language at the end there. I wouldn't go out and try and pull a bird in a field because they're very, very outdoorsy. They might be quite good to pull in a field and then to do in a field. But the chirping of the natural birds would put me off the meeting of another bird in Wellies. But pulling birds out and about in the tune. Just be yourself and don't take Bibsy.
Excellent. Well, I think that really wraps it up for what we've got going on now. So thank you very much for coming in, Malcolm. You've been very helpful.
You're very welcome then.
And all that remains for us this week, a wonderful week, of course, as always a wonderful week. All that remains for us is to play out with us quite a special song. We got two specials this week. Not only is Malcolm here, and not only have we got questions being answered, we've got a song by a guest artist. It's fairly cult figures, known mostly in the Midlands. This is Fat Man Scat and the Definitely Blacks.
But don't ever let me lose the beat. Don't ever let me lose my beat. Don't ever let the beat eat weak, cause this so beats a celiac.
Afterlife comes the afterlife, then what comes after the afterlife? It's not half as good as what we've got here. Sweet sounds like these coming to my ear. St. Peter can suck it, he's no good for me. A perfect perfectly happy with a cup of tea. Is there a word for what I'm feeling now? Yes, there is, but I can't think of it now.
H-E-A-V-E-N. It's all I know and it's all I'm getting. H-E-A-V-E-N. It's all I know.
Recording.
It'll always be there.
Unless we delete it.
We never put our full effort into it.